Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
passengers, and gaiety mounted as the floating palace neared her European port. Having crossed from New York to Bishop's Rock off the English coast in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes, the liner United States established a new Atlantic speed record, July 6, 1952. Cheering crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. The United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the Blue Riband of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. A big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon and welcome to America's Disabled Veterans in Action. I'm Dr. George Anderson and this is ADDIA News. Well, our Brooklyn Navy Yard phone number is open for business. We are at 347-884-8078. It is Wednesday, the 30th of December. One more day to go in the 2015, and we're into a new year. That being said, please check out the Conservancy for the SS United States at www.ssusc.org. And being that it's Wednesday, our hostess, Marilyn Weiss, is here with us. How are you today, Marilyn? Marilyn, hello. Hold on. It was not Marilyn. Hold on one second. Let's see. We seem to have lost our hostess for a second here. So let me see if I can get her back on the phone. Just a second. What is happening? Oh, there she is. Marilyn, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you today? I had a little bit of trouble raising you on the line. Well, we do have a caller waiting in the queue, and I thought that was you, but when I looked up, it was a caller. Caller, are you with us? Caller, are you with us? Yes, they're just along for the ride.
Okay.
Now, what do you got planned for us today with the benefits segment today?
I'm with you.
What's the matter? You're having trouble articulating. What's the problem? You got something? cat got your tongue or something?
I apologize. I'm in the house with a bunch of nutballs and the cracking jokes, and I apologize. Well, I did some claims. I went over a veteran house system with the wife with his claim. He's a Vietnam veteran. And if anybody know me, I can't stress the importance of getting diagnosed with a disability, with an illness. I really can't. I can't stress it enough. And to be in treatment for that particular disability. Because this veteran had been trying since 1989 to be compensated for his post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, you know, anybody in combat, I'm not saying that just only happens to combat, because it can happen to any veteran, but usually when you go into combat, that's a presumption. That is a presumption to have PTSD. But your job is to be diagnosed with it and be in treatment for it. I mean, just look, because this gentleman, because he didn't have a diagnosis, he's been denied all the way up to 2015. He now has the diagnosis. So now that he has the diagnosis, he will probably get the proper compensation that he needs for his post-traumatic stress disorder.
My question is, I have a question on that. Now, all of this time that he's been claiming this, now that he has the diagnosis, will it go retroactive? That's what I wonder.
That's the job I'm going to work on, because I need, like I said, it's new to me, and it's new to me right now. Now, it appears that they will go back that far, but I doubt it. We're probably going to have to ask for it. So what I'm going to, once he gets the diagnosis, get the compensation for it, I can, when they see how far they're going to take him back, then I know where to go. But I first go, once I get him, I will be doing an update on this case, because this is one I've never seen. So this one is new. And like I always tell people, with this particular veteran, like I said, I got to get him compensated, see how far they're going to pay him back. Then I know where to go from there, because he's been working on it, like I said, since then. And so it's just, I mean, really, a lot of the stuff that you hear me talk about on here is facts, not hearsay, not something out of made up. This is stuff that I've actually witnessed and read for myself. It's really so important. And see, when he went to even today when he goes to the doctor, he don't talk to the doctor. He just look at him. Look at the doctor. So it's very important, you know. And see, now the veteran is in a assisted living. So he is having the actual flashbacks. I mean, he gets in the position with his weapon. He told the nurse to get back, get down. Those are true, true signs of post-traumatic stress disorder. See, he often refer back being in Vietnam. So that, that there, and the fact that the nurse has been documenting all of these events is what got him the diagnosis for the post-traumatic stress disorder. Because when he goes to the VA, he don't talk to the doctor. He say he okay. And the VA doctor, you know, that's what they go with. The wife tell a different story. Sometimes the doctor don't, it depends on what doctor you got. A lot of times won't even listen to family members, you know. And when the wife try to bring it up, well, he don't have no signs of PTSD, or he's not showing any symptoms in front of you, he's not. So where he's comfortable at, that's where he's showing them. You got, and that's evidence. And the reason I brought this up like this, because this is evidence. A lot of times, and like I said, when I saw it, I immediately told the wife, this is evidence. And, you know, the family members and loved ones, you know, you guys should really get involved in the veterans' care. Know the disabilities or keep a copy of them on standby. Because the more that you're able to, you know, you have a list of his illnesses. If he's going to a private physician, that's good. That's fine. Just have a list so you'll know. Because if somebody like me helping you with your disabilities, I could add those illnesses. Or they may be the evidence that the VA is looking for you to get your claim. In this case, the veteran was denied because he didn't have a diagnosis. He had a couple other illnesses in there that were denied because he didn't have diagnosis. Now that we have the diagnosis, we can send it to the VA and he should start getting his benefits. And a lot of times, like I said, like the wife was explaining to me, we don't know what we're reading. Even though she read it, she didn't understand what she was reading. See, that's why when we as service officers or persons that's representing veterans have to do our jobs, and that's part of our job. Go over the results with the veteran, wife, family, whomever. If you can do it with the family, with the wife and the family, outstanding, or who's ever in the veteran's life. That way, when that person that's with that veteran and things go further down south, they can say, oh, yeah, well, this was explained to us and da-da-da-da-da. Then you have the family. If you can include family and friends, do it. In this case, I mean, because his wife is sharp now. She's sharp as a tack. But when it comes to this VA stuff, she ran him on a snag, but then the Lord sent me to pull that snag about her. So now, praying, you know, based on the evidence that we have it's called new and material evidence. Now, the VA will tell you a claim is final. That's how they'll say, well, the decision is final. And sometimes a lot of us, we look at that, we don't look no further. In the next paragraph, however, you may reopen the claim with new and material evidence. So in this case, we have new and material evidence. And that should make a change in his benefits. So that's the importance. And if you get your award letter and you don't understand it or whatever, or you've been denied, please don't throw that thing in the trash. It's very important.
Well, I said hold on to everything.
He's correct. Because then you may run across somebody like me that's sharp and will go the extra mile. Because we took six hours yesterday on that man's claim. But I didn't have a problem with that because I wanted the wife to understand. I don't have a job in a pack factory shooing flies. I don't have no kids, so I had a problem with it. I'd rather take the 6 hours and then the wife know more than she knew then or able to understand to be able to help her husband get what they need. No, really. And see, because as long as they've been fighting this battle, you know the amount of money they have lost. Hopefully we can recoup it. But he's been at this since 1989. And that's, you know, when you file a claim, this is why it's important to file a claim for everything under the sun. Everything under the sun.
It's important.
Huh?
I said it's I said in Italian, it's importante, very important.
Very, very, very important. And when you have, like,
when you get these letters, when you get these letters and you read it and you get to the end and you're like, I didn't get anything. I know, I've been there. You get discouraged and then you want to throw the letter aside, but you really got to fight that feeling to throw that letter aside, because you got to keep that letter with you, because that letter becomes your evidence of, number one, that you were fighting all the time. Number two, that it's evidence that they're giving you the paper trail of what you need to get to where you want to be. A lot of times, if you can go and we can read the letters, because I learned how to do it by watching Marilyn do it, and basically, you have to read what they're telling you, because they will tell you the roadmap to get to 100%. They'll tell you what they're looking for. That's why when you go, you want to keep your letter, and it also serves another point. Say you go down the line and you get 10 years down the line and you can show that you've been fighting, but it took you 10 years to get to 100%. A lot of times, if you have been through a denial here, a denial there, and over 10 years you're going to have a few denials, you're going to keep those letters, because if you want to fight for the retroactive, as long as you're filing your appeal within a year's time, you have a good chance of getting it, because you can demonstrate through the letters of denial how long you've been fighting. Am I wrong, Marilyn?
That's right. Now, from what I've understood, and I have not found it in writing yet, there's been changes in the retroactive pay. I haven't found it. I'm still looking for it. I understand the VA is currently only going back 2 years on retroactive pay, and I don't know is that on an initial claim, but I know in November they went back from 2015 to 2008 on me, in regards to aid and attendance. I'm now 50%, but they went back to 2015, 2008. And in September, they went back from 2015 to 2008 in regards to my asthma. So what I have to really look into and see is that is that in the initial retroactive request, or, and I've been looking for, but I haven't found it. So, you know, I haven't. So, because I got my retroactive pay back to the date of my original claim, but from what I've been told, I haven't seen it yet, that they're only going back 2 years on retroactive pay. So.
Oh.
Yep. So.
See, this is why we have to do, and this is why we have to do this research. We have to keep researching. See, and people wonder how come we talk about Congress so much. We are talking about Congress because that's where the laws come from, and that's where we have to research to find out what's going on.
In regards to Veterans Affairs claims, you want to go to Title 38, and that's the regulation that governs the rules and regulations that governs
Veterans Affairs,
disability and compensation. And so you also want to go there first, and then when you come for Congress,
that's who writes those regulations. So that's where the regulations themselves come from. So that's one of the reasons why I constantly try to get people to understand.
you know, because it's something that you have to look at, and you got to kind of know where to go. And it takes a minute for you to learn that. You're not going to learn that if you're just getting out of the service. You know, it often takes you running into a seasoned veteran, someone that's been around the block a time or two. You know, when you look at the fact of the matter, when I first started fighting, I didn't even know how to fight because I got out. I listened to my uncle, who told me, George, don't let time go by. You make sure you get down to the VA, carry down your copy of your records, and apply. And I applied. I got 10%. I went and sat down and shut up.
Well, he got 10% his first try, but it took me 16 years to get 60% my first nickel. So.
Yeah. Well, it took me from 85 to 92 to go from 10 to 50 because I ran into someone that began to tell me you need to complain about the symptoms you're going back through and different things like that. So they got a chance to do it. Then from the 50 to 100, that's where the struggle really got kind of dicey because it took me all of 7 years between that and that. But I was able to get it done only because of the fact of the matter that I did go before the Veteran Board of Appeals, but I had to go, I moved back to D.C., and that's what really helped me because I had help there. I wasn't getting here. It was moving a lot faster there than it would have been moving here in California. I'd probably still be waiting if I had done it here.
Not really. Same rule applies. I don't care if you live in California, Washington, D.C., Virginia, or Memphis, Tennessee. The same rule applies. The same thing that you did. See, the thing is paper trail is one of the most important things you must have. And that helps if you have to go to the Board of Appeals. A lot of times they don't get to the Board of Appeals because you've met, I hate this word with a passion, the criteria for the increase. So a lot of times you don't have to go to the VBA if you've done the thing. Now, me, I had to go no matter what I did. But because
I had the guy tell me to my face he didn't think that I was hurt enough, and I had been fired for being a disabled veteran, and the law is quite clear. You lose your job for being a disabled veteran, and you can prove it. You're supposed to get 100%, but...
That, you know what? I don't know where people get that from. You mean you're supposed to? No. You can get lucky if you're doing it right and you got enough documentation and you got the right person looking at your claim, yeah, that knows the law, yeah. But a lot of times when people doing our claim, we know what we're supposed to get and still don't get it. Because I feel that once you come out the service, start complaining, you should be compensated right away. So that's just me, and I'm not the one making the decision on these claims. But the most important thing, current diagnosis when you file the claim. Current diagnosis and current treatment. If you got out of service in 1975 and you ain't seen a doctor since Jesus left, you got a situation. Mm-hmm. You got a situation because, number one, VA is not going to pay you. They're not going to want to pay you, let's put it like that. Because look at the timeline of when you start seeking treatment. But do not let that be the reason that you don't file a claim. You file the claim anyway, and you let them tear you in writing. Because you may think, like I just said, because you've been out of the service for 100 years, they might send you a letter back saying, well, we have no record in your medical record. And you go and pull up your medical records at your house that you have ordered your military medical records, not VA, military medical records, and say, wow, there it is, because I just did it. I got a claim in for GERD, acid reflux. And they kept saying, well, we don't see nothing in your medical records. About
2 weeks ago, I'm fumbling around in my medical records looking for stuff for another case, and boom, there it is. I was diagnosed with GERD and chronic cough back in the military. So I have 30 days to get that letter to them. Because they didn't say that, oh, well, they didn't tell me I wasn't in treatment. I wasn't getting enough treatment. What they told me was it wasn't in my military medical record. And just by the grace of God, I found it. It's in there. So they're getting it highlighted copy. And I'm putting the claim in for chronic cough. There is no certain time to put a claim in for a disability. You may not get the compensation back to the time that you were diagnosed, but you'll get it from the time that you file a claim. Disability, if you file the claim within a year of the time that you receive compensation, you'll get it from then. If you wait 10 years later and file a claim, even though you have it diagnosed and you got the medical records to prove, like me, my acid reflux will not go back to the date of diagnosis or the date I got out the service. Well, then again, it might. But because I filed my claim within a year of getting out. Matter of fact, I was still in the military when I filed my claim. And I believe I put the claim in for it then. So, but they kept that, they kept denying it. And also, if you cannot find it in your military record, have a doctor with a certified license. They can write you a letter. They can write this. It's called a nexus letter. And a nexus letter is written when there's no documentation or no medical records to prove that occurred in the service. And the nexus letter should be written as such. It is least likely than not that the veteran's acid reflux did not occur in the service. The key words is least likely than not. What that does is show reasonable doubt. And whenever there's a reasonable doubt claim, the veteran wins. That's why they tell you to have a nexus letter written. They told me to have one. They told me as of this date they haven't received it yet. And I got 30 days to get the nexus letter to BVA, Board of Veterans Appeals. Since I have found my medical records, military service records, not VA records, military service records, I should be win my case. Because that's all they ask for. And that's all the hell they get. If you are in the Reserve and National Guard, your military records may be from Veterans Affairs. Your Veterans Affairs may serve as your military records, because now when the Reserve and National Guard go to sick call, they got to go to the Veterans Affairs Hospital. So your Veterans Affairs medical records is constituted as your military medical records. And while I'm on that right quick, because this affects a whole lot of reservists and National Guard. They have changed the protocol for eligibility for health care. Well, it's for everybody, but the main people that are affected, that this is gonna come back to haunt, will be the Reserve and National Guard. Instead of having the 6 months, the 180 days of active duty, they have changed it to 2 consecutive years of active duty before you can receive treatment at a Veterans Affairs facility.
Wow.
With the exception of military sexual trauma. But this is why I encourage the Reserve and National Guard to keep copies of everything if you stay in an outside position, their records are good. Most reservists and National Guards don't have no choice but to come, but to use outside doctors. And if you've only been on reserve and National Guard for weekend drills and 2 week drills, and you have not served 2 consecutive years, as of 2014, that's when they changed that law. So as of 2014, if you have not, as of 2014 to now, if you have not served 24 consecutive months, according to the VA benefits handbook, you cannot receive treatment at the Department of Veterans Affairs outside of your, once you're out of the Reserve National Guard. Reserve National Guard, they get another deal. Now, I posted something on our page, so if everybody listens, please read it. It's called Principles Rating Service Connect. If you can read it, please get a chance to read it. Especially read paragraph B, which is chronicity and continuity. Chronic disease shown as such in service connected or within a presumptive period under the law, which is usually 1 year after getting out of the service, as they're talking about. A lot of this rule does not mean that cases of cough and severe, or arthritis or heart disease, nephritis, pulmonary disease, stuff like that, a lot of them not going to occur, a lot of them are not within a year of, a lot of them, listen, I wrote this and can't see it, so that's sad, but I printed it and can't see it. But the showing of a chronic disease in the service is required, a combination of manifestation sufficient to identify this disease entry. And you have to have a sufficient observation to establish chronic. But it goes back to paper trails once you get out of service and how long you've had. Like me, I've had my call since 1985. I had longer than that. But it first got documented while I was in Florida, and I've been diagnosed for it. Now I'm putting a claim in because I still have it today. Those who heard me tonight heard my chronic cough.
Hey.
But I can't stress paper trail. I cannot stress reading your award letter, no matter how mad you are, how many times you've been denied. If you read why you've been denied, then that's what you work on. They say you're denied because you don't have enough evidence, which means you're not going to the doctors enough that they are aware of. So read the decision. If you come up on one and you cannot and you don't understand, call in the station. We'll go over it.
We have another caller in queue who's been waiting for a minute patiently. Let's see. Caller, are you with us?
Yeah, this is George. This is George. How you all doing today?
All right, all right. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
He said, ooh, Jesus.
You got a question or comment?
Huh?
You got a question or comment for us?
Dealing with the class and everything, you can go online and just get 38 CFR. It's going to tell you everything. It's government regulation.
It's called Federal Code of Regulations. It's called Title 30.
Right, Federal Regulations.
Yeah, now what you tell you gonna tell you what?
You can use it,
but know what you're reading, because a lot of times it's not out there like that. But you can read it till you're green in the face if you're not dealing with your specific case, with your case. That's where I get all my information. When I'm, the stuff that I'm reading now, that's where I got it from. Matter of fact, I correct myself. Your rating decision is based on Title 38.
Right.
Your rating decision, your result decision comes from Title 38. So they've already done that work for you.
It's going to tell you exactly what you're going to need to get certain percentages.
Your rating decision tells you that, but we don't read it. So now what are you saying?
The CFR can tell you that before you write a claim up so you can address it accordingly.
But how many people read
it? That's usually not how it's done.
No, it isn't.
No,
what I'm saying
is simply this. When you file your claim, you know what it is that's going on with you. You got the paperwork.
They don't know that.
You
a lot
go,
of that to you, sir.
Yeah, no. I understand they don't know. I just tell them to suggest that he go, study the CFR and use that as a guideline to writing his claim. Know what he's going for, but
you
can write his claim up so that you can get what you're looking for. Because
okay,
of the next
let me tell you something. You can do that. You're correct. But if you file a claim, okay, first of all, you know the application that you get the 526 EZ? The 526?
What's that? I don't remember all these numbers. I got a lot of numbers.
Excuse me. VA Form 21-526 EZ tells you in plain English, better than the CFR. It's better than the CFR 38 because a lot of times the CFR 38 got a whole lot of mumbo jumbo. But if you go to that, you won't need to go to Title 38. You only bring Title 38 in when it's a discrepancy. But if you read VA Form 21-526 EZ, okay? 526 EZ is simple. Just like it's on it. You don't have to go to Federal Code of Regulation if you read this. This is broken down in layman's terms, but we don't read it because there's so many pages, sir. What evidence do we need to show support for your claim? Have your disability that was caused by your service if it's service connected. No, let me break it down more simpler than that. To support your claim for service connection per Title 38, you have an injury or a disease that was made permanently or worse by the service, or there was an event in the service that caused or aggravated your disease. Caused an injury or disease, and you are currently physical and mental disability. You have a current and physical mental disability. That's number one. That's the same thing I've been saying all night. You have a diagnosis, and you in treatment. That's what gets you your money. That's what gets you money. And if you read these on this page, it's simplified and it's in layman's terms. A relationship between your current disability and the injury or disease symptoms or event in the service. This may be shown by medical records or medical opinion, which comes under documentation. In current cases, by lay evidence, you go in there. I got back pain. That's what you tell the VA. And you always throw in there that it happened in the sun. Everything you make a complaint about, you say it occurred in the military. If you're able to get your military medical records and it's listed in the diagnosis, that's a straw. But again, if you have not been in treatment for it or you don't have a current diagnosis, you are denied. I'm getting around all the Title 38, because like I said, Title 38 comes in later down the road. You can read Title 38, and if you don't know what you're reading, you got a problem. You and I may be able to understand, sir, about the Title 38. A lot of veterans don't. They don't even read their denials. They don't read their decision letters. If you've been denied for back pain, then you go to Title 38 and find out what it is that can assist you in the back pain or what it is, how you're compensated or how the rating goes. But when you file in the claim, you put a claim in for everything that you know happened. If you got your military medical records, you pull that out. If you were lucky enough to get a discharge physical, that's all you need. If every, like on mine, all of my disabilities is on my exit physical. That's all I need to send the VA. Highlight it. That's all I need to see. I don't need to send 100 pages. That's what causes backlogs. Sending in 50 pages when you only can send that one page, that two page, or three. It's three of them all together. That's all you need. And be in treatment. That's all you need. You sitting going through Type 38, don't know what the hell you're looking at, you got a problem. So, again, you know, I'm trying to make this short, sweet, and less stressful. You only bring in Title 38 when you have been denied and you're not satisfied with your decision. But if you read the denial, it may tell you we don't have it in your medical records. You pull your medical, oops, like I did. Oops, there it is. Now once I send that in, and because I got a long history of treatment for GERD and chronic cough, I shall be compensated. See, we have a lot to do. We determine whether or not we get our monies, the actions that the veteran do. We have to prove our case. But now, did you you see where I'm coming from, sir? Hello?
What you're speaking of is a fully developed claim. What I'm talking about is... Yes, it is. The 526 EP is a fully developed claim. I'm looking at it. I'm looking dead at it.
But what I'm telling you, sir, it is a fully developed
claim. I didn't disagree. I did not disagree with you. I'm just seeing what the form is. I'm not disagreeing.
Let me say something about that fully developed claim while you since it's out there. And the VA is doing this, veteran, so be on the lookout. You got a claim in, you're getting 40% for back pain. Okay? And you go to your VA people that they do it all the time. Once you file a claim with Veterans Affairs, you don't never file another claim with them on the same thing. You don't do that. Because if your claim is pending and you go do a fully developed claim, you have lost all of your retroactive money. Because what you have done, you started a brand new claim on the stuff you're being compensated for. So anything prior to that is gone. So what they're doing, because it's a brand new claim, so everything that was previously there has been closed. Your retroactive money has been closed.
So that's the form that you that's the form that you missed. VA form 21-526-EV is a fully developed claim.
That's right. But when veterans who have come,
and that's what you first filed a claim.
Excuse me? The message is what?
When you first file your claim, the best thing, the best route to go is to have a 40 developed claim.
If you have your military medical records to send with it, yes. If you don't have your military medical records and you want to file a claim, you go to the regular form of, go to the old form. Now, if you now you can do what's called an intent to file a claim prior to doing the fully developed claim, which allows you.
In fact, it's not a you can, that's just required. You have to do an intent to file a claim.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. You do.
Okay. Do you do claims, sir? Are you a claim officer?
Am I certified? No. But do I do claims for people? Yes.
You do not. See, I'm not going to debate this with you. I've been doing this too long, and my staff's a little too high. So if you want to go the traditional route, you still can. If you choose to do the intent to file a claim, which gives you a year, gather your military medical records using a Form 180 from St. Louis, then you can do that. You still have a choice in this. What you don't have a choice in is a notice of disagreement and the and request for increase. You don't have a choice in that. And the request for increase, new claims for veterans who already have a claim filed, which is not a 21-526EZ. For those who are getting compensation, you will never do that one. But when the VA sends
you... I'm going by the claim number that you gave out. The form number you gave out. That's the form number you gave out.
What are you talking about, sir? What form number, sir?
Excuse me?
What form number you say I gave out? I gave out two of them.
VA form 21-526EZ.
That is not the form that you use if you have a claim and getting benefits to file a new claim. It is not the form that you use. But it's the one the VA is sending for you. It's the one the VA is sending to you when you ask to do a new claim. That's the one. And if you use that form and you have a claim pending, you will lose your retroactive pay because that prior claim is closed because you have now filed a brand new claim. But if you use a 5-2, a VA form, 21-52CB as in Bravo, you can do your increases. You can file your brand new claims under that. You can do your reopen the claim, and you can do secondary conditions. And you can do aid and attendance for your wife or yourself. So now, VA form 21-5B26EZ is not the form to do if you're already receiving compensation for Veterans Affairs and you got a claim pending. And it makes sense. You do not, if you've ever filed a claim with Veterans Affairs, you will never use a 526B as in Bravo, a fully developed claim. You will not use it. Not unless you want to give up your retroactive pay, you can use it. And I need my retroactive pay. Mine's real good. So. Fine. I mean, you can do your claims however you wish to do, sir.
No,
I mean, that's
what I'm saying, I'm not disputing anything you say, but I'm just saying what you were speaking of, you just came out and gave that VA form number saying that that's what you filed with.
I was using the VA form number only for you to look and see how the VA rates and makes decisions on your claim without having to go to type 38. That's what
I'm aware of how to do it. I'm aware.
Okay, so, but I'm saying because if I've seen it happen too many times in the last 6 months, that if you have a claim filed with Veterans Affairs or you go to a service officer and tell them you want to do a new claim, the first thing they give you is a fully developed claim, which is incorrect. If you are receiving benefits or have a claim filed, you do not use that form. You can if you want to lose the money you got and hold it. That's the importance, and that's not getting out there. If I come to you, sir, and say, oh, I'm receiving 20%, but I want to put in a new claim. I'm receiving 20% for PTSD. Now I want to do a new claim for my back pain. You would not give me a 21 dash 26. You would not give me a fully developed claim to do that on. You should give me a 21 dash 526 B as in Bravo. Because now I can put an increase in for that, for the backpack, I mean, for the PTSD, which is the Pacific. The next line, now I can add my back pain as a new claim. That way it won't mess up with my. How are you doing? Now, I don't understand. I don't mind. I can care less whether you dispute me or not, but I think if we're doing claims, we need to do it correct to the best interest of the veteran.
Okay, no problem.
Too many veterans, I've seen it happen, too many veterans, they get the decision, they done filed out a fully developed claim while receiving 60%. And they have claims pending. Now they want, and then they put the claim in all over for the same claim for whatever they're getting 60% for, instead of asking for an increase so that they can get the proper retroactive pay. Because once you do the fully developed claim for something you're getting 60% for, it's considered as a brand new claim. For any possible retroactive pay, you're not going to get it because you closed the claim you already have open. That's all I'm saying. I think, I mean, but people that do claims as I do don't expect better. And then they come and want, then I get them and wonder why they didn't get their retroactive pay because you filled the wrong form out. Whoever helped you wasn't paying attention. They had you to do the fully developed claim instead of having you put an increase. The lady just did it last night when I went to her house. She filed two or three new claims, fully developed claims for stuff she's already been, her husband's compensated for. So because she did that, she lost the retroactive. It's considered a new claim.
And that's a common error. That's a common error among veterans. It happens quite a bit.
A 99.9 error. But you based on what the VA is sending to you. And the VA is sending the wrong form. And I, when they bring it to me, I don't use that form the VA sent. I use the 546B as Bravo so that they can get their retroactive pay. Nothing makes sense for you to do a fully developed claim for something you already being compensated for. That's crazy. I need all my money and yours too. But no one explains this to the veteran. And then they, well, why didn't I get my retroactive pay? Because you filed a new claim for one you already being compensated for. But either way, you have to show new and material evidence. Only difference, one gets you your retroactive pay, may take you back a year, may take you back 2 years. But according to Title 38, it's supposed to take you back to the original date of claim, the original date of decision. I just got two checks based on what I just said out my mouth, so I know what I'm talking about. Two nice fat checks. So that's what I'm saying. That's it. But the way I've been doing them has been successful. So, hey. My stats is very high. I do the veteran that's coming or the family member. Huh? Do we have a call?
I mean, she gets, the thing is that she gets the rating not just from her local area but from around the nation. And people have come back and said thank you and just given her feedback, you know, because she just helped the veteran's wife get her DIC claim done.
And it didn't take, and it only took 2 months because I only sent pertinent information. I didn't send a whole 500 pages. I only sent the death certificate, the police report, and the award letters, all I sent. So, you have to think outside the box. The woman, like I said, the lady house I went to last night, we stayed there forever, 6 hours. Didn't matter to me. I wanted, because the lady didn't know, she didn't know how to read the paperwork. She had a million questions. She had filed the claim 2-3 times for the same crap. And I told her that's why you didn't get the retroactive pay you thought you were supposed to get, because each time you filed a new claim. And that's what messed you up.
Well, but we live and we learn, and this is how we go about helping people. You know, when I first began to understand claims and how it worked, it took me some time to even get to the form. I knew that you could not file a new claim on top of a claim, that you could amend your claim.
You can do it.
Yeah. You can file, but you lose your retroactive pay, and you have to be careful of that, because you do file it, it can happen so easily. So you have to be careful and watch these forms, because if you're not careful, you can lose a great lift you've already done.
But the people that are doing claims are the ones that should know this. That's our job to know it. It's our responsibility to stop those type of errors. Our job, because we're the front line. And sometimes it don't help. It doesn't hurt to take time. A lot of us that do these claims, the veteran is in and out of their office in 20 minutes. So they can't ask no questions. They just don't know. They don't know. That's the sad part, because they don't know. They don't know that you don't file, you don't do a fully developed claim once you file a claim with Veterans Affairs. They don't know that. So they go and do it because someone told them it's a new claim. So they go and do that.
Really?
You just robbed them of their money. Because if you've been
let it be known that first and foremost, I never addressed a claim that was already submitted. What I said was, when you came out and said something about the 526, I said, okay, now that I saw what it is, I said, yeah, this is a fully developed claim. Once I saw the very first part of it, I knew what it was. I can't remember all the numbers. I don't sit up there and even try to act like I can remember all those numbers. You know,
I've never said
that you file a claim and then you say you don't want to do this and do that. No, once the claim is in, there's no reason to sit up and file another claim right then and there. Because first thing, it's going like, just like it knocks everything else out the box. I knew all of that. So what you tell me is nothing that I didn't already know. I was
okay, because you knew it, did not mean listeners knew it. Okay, I wasn't doing it for you. Because you do claim, so I don't have to do a lot of this stuff for you. You already know I'm reinforcing it for my listeners, because Veterans Affairs, that's the form that they send to them, even though they have a claim in. And most other people that do claim, you're one of the few that don't. Most of the people that do claims will give them that darn form and tell them to fill it out, even for a claim that. And I'm just telling you. So I wasn't really directing it at you. I already know, you know, should know as much as I know. But I'm doing it for the listeners that don't know, and for the people like the wife that I spoke with last night. Those are who I'm reinforcing this information. And the reason I was given that form number, not for them to do the claim. I wanted them to see how the VA rates a claim. That's what that first few pages on that, the first 5 pages, it tells you they rate the claim on severity, but there's things that they rate the claim on, and you don't need Title 38 for that. If you read that, it tells you what to do. It tells you how they rate your claim, what they're looking for when you file a claim. Once you know the basics and what they're looking for, then you know how to get your money. And then when they deny you, they tell you how to go back and get your money. But we so mad because I've done it. We get so mad that we throw it in trash. my goal is for people, for veterans, loved ones, whoever fighting with a claim, is to refrain from throwing this stuff in the trash. Read it. Read it. And that's when I called that page out. That was why I specified about if you have a claim in, this is not the form that you filed if you want to do a new claim. That's why I did that. And so, like, if you, it tells you about secondary service connected, it tells you about the increase in the benefit, total disability rating. It tells you about individual unemployment. These are questions that I'm asked every day. It tells you how to reopen a claim, what they're looking for. It's right here. You don't need to go to Title 38 is what I'm saying, because everything is here. So if you have a question as to how they rate me, this is where you would go. And looking for the one where it says, that's all I'm doing. I'm trying to tell them where to go and read it, because it's right there. And then if you have a paper copy of this 526 EZ, you read it. You go in there and you look at it and see, oh, well, they do. They rate you on the severity of the claim. They rate you on the onset of the disability. How often do you complain when they say the severity? How severe is the condition? Your mouth don't tell how severe it is. How many times you go to the emergency room? How many times you go to the doctor, not just for appointments? That's what determines severity. That's what I'm talking about. When did the pain, when did the symptoms start occurring? Or when did your symptoms mean, when did you start having pain? When did you start feeling bad? And then they also rated on how disabling it is. Those are the criteria that tell you how much of a percentage you'll get off the top. That's the information they need to know. That's what they need to know. It tells you how they determine the effective date. Okay? If we grant you a claim bending the date of your entitlement or increase of entitlement, the benefit was generally based on the following factors. When we received your claim, or when the evidence showed the level of disability that is supporting certain ratings under the schedule. If the VA received your claim within 1 year of your separation for entitlement, entitlement will be paid the following date of your separation. So if you file a claim within 1 year of getting out of service, they're going to go to the date that before your discharge from service. If you wait a year after the year, they're going to go from the date that you filed the claim. So, and then if you're receiving 50% and the effective date is 19. You filed in 2015, and the effective date you filed your claim is 2010. They're going back to 2010. That's what I understand. That's what this is telling me from my understanding reading of this. And you put an increase in, let's say you get 100%. The 100% is supposed to go back to the date you were awarded your disability. So if you was awarded your disability in 2015, if you filed your claim in 2010, you received your benefits in 2015. The retroactive date is supposed to go back to 2010, according to what I'm reading. So if you go for an increase and you get that 100% in 2020, 2020 goes back to 2010. That's the way I'm understanding this. Now, if you know anything different, let me know and I'll look it up. But I'm reading it right from here, so I don't need to go to Title 38. How VA determines the disability rating? And this is the most important question that every veteran should know.
When we find disabilities to be service-connected, we assign a disability rating. The rating can be changed if there are changes in your condition, meaning if you get 100% for PTSD in 2015 and is rated back to 2010, you stop going. The evidence shows that the condition has improved, not the veteran's mouth. Evidence shows that the condition has improved. What I mean by the evidence, you're not seeing the doctors as often as when you first got the disability. That's the number one sign of a change of a condition getting better. Number one sign. When you first had severe PTSD, you was in that office every week. Then you start improving. The doctor said, "Well, I want to see you in a month." Then he wants to see you in 2 months. Now he wants to see you in 3 months. Houston, we got a problem. Now he wants to see you in 6 months. We definitely got a problem. Now we're going to see you once a year because so many veterans is under that and have jobs. So you look one day, the Department of Veterans Affairs is saying that we will be decreasing your compensation because the evidence shows that your condition has improved. And during all this time, you have no walk-in visits to the mental health clinic. You have no emergency visits to the ER. You have no hospital stay, and you're not in groups. They're going to drop you down to 10%, is the lowest they can get. That's what that means. Then it says you can be rated from 0% to as much as 100%. A lot of veterans think because they're at 0%, not receiving money for the 0%, they have been denied their disability. Wrong answer. You have just completed 99.9% of your claims because you're compensated at 0%. That's 99.9% of your battle. Your job is what? To get a request for increase. When you request for an increase, you have to show that the condition has gotten worse. Going to your regular doctor's appointment does not do it. Does not do it. Especially when you are seeing the doctor once a year or you're seeing them every 3 months or better. Does not cut it. You have to show walk-in visits, hospitalization if possible, and walk-in ER visits. That shows the condition has gotten worse. I've seen people get denied their increases because they have no hospitalization for PTSD. I've read it. See, I'm not telling you what I heard because I read these people denial levels because I'm nosy and I want to know that when I get in a situation like I can tell a veteran that. I've seen people get denied for lack of evidence. And lack of evidence, because I got that for 4 years, and DAV or nobody else would tell me what additional information mean, that's what it was. Additional information, when I finally found out, meant I was, it was a lie. But a lot of times it means they want whether or not you're currently in treatment, whether or not you're seeing a doctor or medication and whatever. When you're not on medication, you're not going to get the rating you're looking for. You may not even get, you may get 0% because you're not on medication because the disability is not severe enough for you to be on medication. Good one is diabetics that have been in Vietnam diabetic. If they're not on the medication, they get a 0 rating, or they may get lucky and get 10%. Again, the severity of your condition is what, and I'm getting ready to get to that in a minute. VA uses a schedule of evaluation disabilities that is published in the Code of Federal Regulations in Part 4. In rare cases, we can assess a disability on a level other than the levels found in the schedule for specific conditions. If your impairment is not adequately covered by the schedule, we consider the evidence of the following determinations for your disability: the nature and symptoms of condition, That means if you have asthma, nature would be asthma. The symptoms would be how frequent do you have asthma attacks? If you have an asthma attack and you went to the emergency three times in 1 year, and they have given you any type of steroids, Cyanedrol, prednisone, steroid inhalers, that will get you 30%. And then, like I said, but it all depends on the severity. So if you have asthma, you don't go to the doctor, you're not under the doctor's care, you don't go to the emergency room, you're not on medication, you'll get 0%. They did not say you didn't have the asthma, you're not in treatment for it. It's not disabling to you, it's the key. The severity and duration of the symptoms and the impact of the conditions and symptoms on employment. Examples of evidence that you should tell us about that may affect how we assess the disability evaluation to include the following: information about ongoing treatment records, to include VA or federal treatment, if you're not previous, that you have not told us about, which also means outside doctors. See, a lot of veterans get caught up because they see outside doctors. VA cannot go to your outside doctor and get your medical records. Cannot do it without you doing a release of information. Now, what I do for release of information is, because now they got the new one out, where I can't make no comments. So I do a 21-4138, giving the Veterans Affairs continuous permission to go into to contact my outside physician, and I list their names on it. That way, the VA don't have to constantly find me, and I got to constantly do a release of information because the VA goes and reevaluates you unbeknownst to you. Unbeknownst to you. That's why these people got these good government jobs and ain't got time to go to the doctor to get a letter saying you've been dropped from 100% to 10%, and they want to know why. Because the evidence is that you're not in treatment that Veterans Affairs is not aware of. This goes out to reservists and National Guard who falls under this. So once I do that, the VA don't have, they go in there, they have your continuous permission to do it. So that way they can go in there, they have already got your permission, so they'll contact that particular doctor. And then I make sure that the veteran has a copy of those of the release of information for the private doctor and the copy of the letter giving them continuous permission to go into their records. I give the veterans a copy of that for their records. So when the VA comes and says, oh, we didn't have no evidence or we couldn't contact your doctor, wrong answer. I've given you permission, continuous permission to go to contact my private physician. Please see attached release of information and 21-4138 give you that permission. Send that in to them in the conversation, then they'll proceed as they need to, and then that may bring you back to your status. Now, Social Security determinations. VA and Social Security work together. They peas in a pot. So the same thing you have to do to get your VA compensation is the same thing you got to do to get your Social Security. Same thing you got to do to get Social Security. Same thing you got to do to get your VA compensation. And statements from employment of job, huh?
Yeah, you say anything. I'm just listening.
Any callers on the line? And let me stop right here. Are there any questions?
We're good. No, Mr. no George, caller. Do you want me to give you the number?
Doctor, call in. That's again 347-884-8078. You can call, join in the conversation, ask benefits questions and things of that nature. I will do my best to answer them. If I do not know them, I will look them up for you. Mr. George, you still there? Hello?
I think he's still riding along. He's, no, he's gone. He's gone.
Okay. So if you got a statement from your employee, job performance, lost time, or other information in regards to how your conditions affect your ability to work, or statements discussing your disability symptoms from people who have witnessed how your symptoms affect you. That goes back to at the beginning of the show when I was talking about the Vietnam veteran. The nurse documented his flashbacks. They didn't know it was the wife. Nobody knew it was flashbacks until I brought it to attention based on the documentation in the nurse's report. That is acceptable. That is acceptable evidence to support this gentleman's claim for PTSD, probably how he got the diagnosis for PTSD. When the wife read the medic, when the wife said he was on Quetiapin or Seroquel, right then I knew. Right then I knew. But once I got the list, bam, there was the PTSD and the depression. How you doing? So there it was. So, but these are things that as we as service officers do not explain or go over these symptoms, these this information here, just because I may suggest for them to go and read it, 9 times out of 10, people don't read it. There are some that do. Here's another thing. I'm reading this off the VA work, okay? But this is the form that you go and find this in layman. This is in simple terms where you can understand it. You see what I'm saying? It's lined out right here. So, and then it has, are you requesting expedited process due to being homeless or in danger of becoming homeless? To support your request for homeless process, because there's three things that you can get it expedited for. Homeless, there's some things that you can get your compensation claim expedited. Homeless is one of them. And see, since homeless is a big issue, they got a thing here for homelessness. If you're homeless, then to support your request for homelessness, you are presently homeless or in danger of becoming homeless. You must have the following service qualification: 90 days of consecutive service, 90 days of combined service, was discharged prior to 90 days of service due to an injury, or have other than honorable discharge military service. You cannot have a dishonorable discharge. How about that? You got to have an honorable discharge. You have a combined disability. You are considered of having documented disability for if medical evidence shows. We go back to a current diagnosis of a disease, disorder, or injury or illness. Shall I read this again? Current diagnosis of a disease, disorder, or injury. You got to have this number one before you even fill this fully developed claim out. The bottom line. Current diagnosis. You're receiving. Have a disability. Huh?
You got 5:30 left on the switch board.
Okay, so
yeah,
I'm at the bottom.
Thank you.
You have a disability reasonably certain to continue throughout your lifetime, and your net worth income does not receive the requirements of the VA threshold of $13,000. You're not receiving over $13,000 in income is what, when VA do income verification, that's $13,000. If you over $13,000, it's either between, let me say $11,000 to $13,000.
then you may be overqualified. And they can expedite your conditions due to your age of 65 and better. The severity of your disability will expedite your claim. Age, disability, hardship is another one that will expedite your claim. And, of course, homelessness. I'm reading this off this VA paper, but I keep myself knowledgeable on this stuff. That's the key. And if you want, and then you can file a claim if you got a helpless child. If you got a disabled child prior to his 18th birthday, you can file a claim. Just if the child has a permanent incapable of self-support due to a mental or physical disability, you can file for it. For additional benefits to payable for a child, the veteran must be entitled to compensation, must be rated 30% or better to even apply for the disabled, for the helpless child. If you got a child with, severe ADHD, yes. If it's severe to him, to them, yes. If you have a child with cerebral palsy, not even related to your service-connected disability, according to this statement. Child has to become mental or physical disabled prior to his 18th birthday. So a lot of veterans have children, especially Vietnam or combat veterans, or veterans in general, but mainly I've seen this, veterans of Vietnam fall under a lot of that. If their child has a mental condition, whether it's related to their PTSD or not, prior to the age, and it affects their ability to function, or they can receive compensation under the helpless child disability. All right, so what's my time?
2:20.
Okay, so the key to this really is reading. Keep reading. And I'm going to say, 21 VA form 21-526B as in boys, where you can find everything that I'm talking about. You don't have to fill this claim out to get this information, but this is a good layman's term breakdown of how they evaluate your claim, how to get your retroactive pay date. And this thing doesn't say nothing about no 2 years. That the VA is only going back 2 years, it's not on here. And this form has been revised May 2015. So, again, if somebody can show me where it says they're only going back 2 years, I'd like to see it. But according to this, this fully developed claim dated May 2015 is not in the effective date requirement for retroactive pay.
Well,
but I would like
to, we're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow.
I would like to thank everybody for listening. Have a happy new year from America's Disabled Veterans in Action family to yours. Be safe. And please join us on next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. Dr. George is going to take us out with the other times.
Yeah, we're going to, that is 2400 Zulu, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific, 3 Alaska, 1 o'clock Hawaii, 9 o'clock Guam, 9 a.m. Guam. We are out of here, folks, and we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place.
I don't know what happened to the door. Thank you.